Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to Born Yesterday, a podcast in which myself and Andy Barr have been cloning ourselves.
That's absolutely 100% spot on there, Alexander. You've knocked the nail right upon its head and it's been driven bodily into the plank. We have been cloning ourselves, and those clones have been given 24 hours in which to familiarise themselves with three things.
And then we invite special comedian guests.
Very special comedian guests.
To explain other things to them, bearing in mind that they only understand those three things.
Once again, Alexander, you're on the money.
Thank you, Andy, for your
interjection.
Reassurance.
Helpful interjection.
Helpful there. Reassurance. The three things in this episode are
Scott of the Antarctic,
Pamela Anderson,
and Thunderbirds. And that is not the Mexican or a sort of Aztec Mesoamerican god, the Thunderbird, or the pterodactyl, which I believe was also known as the Thunderbird. It is the puppets.
Or or the Mexican-American god, Pamela Anderson.
Or that, yeah.
Scott of the Antarctic.
Yep. Very chilly fella.
Chilly fella.
Yeah.
A loser, as I believe we call him.
I think that might have happened, yep. That may be
he
present.
He lost. He's one of history's great losers.
Did he get to the bit that he wanted to go to?
It was a race.
Right, okay. I'm not all that up on that. I know that you've got your Amundsens, you've got your Scots, you've got the other one.
Yeah.
Who's the other one?
Edmund Hillary?
No, that was Everest.
Yeah, that's what I thought he were talking about.
Right, no, I was talking about the sort of polar explorers.
Oh, well, maybe I'm getting confused.
Hmm.
Win or lose, he's a loser.
Yep, absolutely sucked. Had to get Oates to bail him out.
Mm.
What a fucker.
Take one for the team.
Yeah.
Lads.
One of the biggest ones ever taken for the team. Though.
Yeah. He took an L for the team.
Yeah.
He said, as we all know,
I'm just off to take an L.
Yeah. Lads,
yeah.
This one's on me.
Yeah. Dubs for Oates.
And then he did the mobot out of the tent.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure it was very touching in the moment, but to view it through the lens of history.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Of course, several men lost their lives.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't have to go there.
Mm.
They didn't have to. There wasn't a great benefit to doing it.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, why did I climb a mountain? Because it was there, Andy.
Yeah, but I didn't.
No, neither of us have.
No. And we're podcasting in a cupboard near an incredibly powerful air conditioning unit, which may or may not impact the caliber of the recording today.
It's sitting here in this cupboard next to this air conditioning unit, and either I think I can feel what Scott and Oates felt on that fateful expedition.
Cold?
Yes.
Hungry?
Yeah.
I certainly am presently hungry.
There's very little of the world that is unexplored.
The oceans.
Yes.
The deep oceans.
Most of the Mariana Trench.
Yep.
And other areas of the ocean. There are some, there's very little landmass, but some does exist that is unexplored.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends, explored by whom. Because if we're talking about the sort of, the North Sentinel Islands, then, a group of fellows have explored it every fucking inch.
Yes.
But are very unwilling to let anyone else come and have a look.
Yes, I suppose what would the term be? Sort of broader interconnected society is yet to...
The Google Maps car has not...
Yeah.
...taken a little trip round.
That's when you really know that you're part of the general culture conversation. Yeah. You step out of your traditional dwelling, and you go down to the river to catch fish, as you and your kind have done for millennia.
Kind, the same mates. Come on,
I was going to go kin. Or something
well,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I think the way that you went was the worst of both worlds.
Yeah, pretty bad. Anyway, you look up from the river.
Yeah, there's the Google
Maps car. You pull a funny face, so it appears on Google Maps, despite not knowing what that is yet.
Yeah.
If you were to discover any... What would you like to be known for discovering if you were an explorer?
Probably like a big animal of some sort.
Yeah.
Even if it's just like a sort of... an island gigantism version of a normal animal.
Mm.
Like a fucking huge... I mean huge. I mean like... cow-sized rat.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be brilliant.
Why did I also think of a rat?
I don't know. Maybe it's to do with being in this basement.
Yeah, we are in a cupboard.
Yeah.
And you'd be Andy the Big Rat Man?
No, I think I'd probably... I've been trying to shrug off that moniker for years, and yet my discovery of this humongous rat has once again... laid the mantle upon my shoulders.
There's something of a whisper network on the UK comedy circuit where, information that cannot be...
We've got the BRM on tonight, if anyone's got a... Big Rat Man. If anyone's got a problem with that.
Have you met Andy Barr? Oh, yeah, he's a nice guy. Have you heard about his massive rat?
You heard about the rat?
Yeah.
For
me, there's a big water park near Southampton.
Right.
I'd like to be known for discovering that.
Okay. Are you what? From memory, or is it some sort of absolutely freak natural formation?
I just appear on the news one day.
Right.
Hey, everyone, look at this sick flume.
Check this out.
Yeah.
Is it plumbed in?
Yeah. I just find it intact.
Right. Okay. And it's all functioning, and all the pumps are working and have been working for.
Brought to existence by some unknown act of God.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that would be good.
And then I just hire lifeguards and Bob's your uncle.
But in this, what is Bob here, other than my uncle?
I'm the bloke who found a perfectly functioning water park in the middle, quite near Southampton.
And is the uncle in this question income? What is it?
Yeah, I would. I would.
You would get people to pay...
Yeah,
pay money.
I would
come in.
I presume that sort of level,
because that wasn't clear.
Yeah, I presume there's a sort of finders keepers law in play here, where I just get to keep that.
Yeah, I reckon
facility.
So. Any amusements? All amusements actually in the UK were naturally occurring formations that were. So the first sort of great exploration was about finding and conquering those, and taking the gate money.
Yeah, of course you remember when the Normans found Alton Towers.
Yeah. used to be Queen Burps Bubble Works at Chessington.
And yet the David Walliams ride has always been there. Longer than even Walliams has been around.
Well, I think in some way he's always been around.
Yeah.
Striding the earth.
Him and his kind.
Yeah. Kind of like the Highlander. There's always one.
You have to behead the previous Walliams to become
There can be only one. Ah, there's always... there's always one.
There's the Highlander sequel we all want to see. Oh, there's always one, isn't there? Soundtrack by Queen.
Mm.
Who did David Walliams kill to become David Walliams? Leslie Phillips.
Could be, yeah.
Any fond memories of Pamela Anderson?
No. No, absolutely none. Didn't I was aware of her, but did not touch my childhood in any real way.
Yeah.
At all.
No,
I'd even, you know, up until a couple of years ago when they had that documentary come out, I've struggled to pick her out of a lineup.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, don't really know who she is.
I mean, I think if there's one thing everyone knows about Pamela Anderson is what she looks like.
Right.
It's sort of the whole point.
Yeah, well,
I was aware of her as a child.
Well done.
A figure who's being sort of reappraised in recent years for having been treated quite unfairly.
Yes, I think that's probably the case of the majority of women who were maligned in the 90s. Probably some sort of critical reappraisal needs to happen.
Yeah.
They should have some sort of special commission set up. Are they actually as bad as we've been led to believe? Just work through them, case by case. Get a sort of panel of supreme court set up.
I can see a press conference now. We have decided that being conventionally attractive is no longer a crime.
Right. However, the following are still pieces of work. Anne Robinson.
The following women are unconventionally attractive and therefore dogs.
Yeah.
Poor old Pamela Anderson. But, you know, she's very wealthy and, you know, increasingly beloved. So I think she'll be fine.
Yep, so you're smashing a couple of sympathy points off there.
You what, sorry?
Is that what you're saying? You're smashing a couple of sympathy points off. We've just awarded her a few sympathy points and now they're being pulled back.
Oh, no, no,
given
no.
Her wealth.
I'm saying that she's probably all right now.
Okay, it's plain sailing these days.
Yeah, given some of the hardship that she's faced.
Yeah, better now.
Yeah.
Great.
She was a dog shit actor, though.
Again, I've never the Baywatch, never seen it.
No, I've seen bits of barbed wire.
Was it just barbed wire?
I think it's barbed wire.
Right, okay.
Which is a sort of action film where they went, I'll tell you what would be good, Pamela Anderson in PVC.
Right.
Which is not a bad idea, but it also needs a script.
Yes. Yeah. What would you have... gun to your head.
Mm.
Strange setup, admittedly.
Yeah.
A gun is at your head, and somebody has instructed you to write...
Which film studio is putting a gun to my head?
Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers,
yes.
Okay. Warner Brothers are on the back foot.
Yeah.
And they need...
They need at least a synopsis.
Okay.
Or barbed wire, starring Pamela Anderson. And she is in PVC.
So it's like a reboot, kind of remake of...
Yeah.
Okay. Now that she's more fondly viewed.
Yes.
Or fondly viewed in a different and better way.
Mm.
She was always fondly viewed.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
But a certain kind of fondness.
Viewed through a certain gaze.
Yeah. Well, so Bugs Bunny's got a gun to my head.
Yeah, or, you know, representatives of Bugs Bunny have.
Sure.
He doesn't do all the, you know, the dog work.
The blood work.
Guys. Yeah.
My pitch for Barbed Wire, the remake, is Pamela Anderson. She's in PVC.
Right.
And it's set during the Spanish Civil War.
Okay.
And
are there any famous cameos from the guys with Hemingway was there, wasn't he?
She's with her mother and they're sort of on coaches and they're going to
what kind of coach?
Well,
is this a time travel thing or is it like a stagecoach?
No, what period was the Spanish Civil War was in? Fairly recently,
19 somethings.
Yeah. So that her mother's developed a relationship with one of the fascist generals.
Right.
And Pamela Anderson is being taken to sort of a stronghold of one of the Spanish generals.
How old is she at the time?
She's her age now.
God, her mum must be knocking on a bit.
No. And her mum's...
Emma Stone in this...
her mum and this fascist general. Yeah. It's a marriage convenient because her mother is pregnant again.
Yeah.
And then in the night, Pamela Anderson wanders off into the woods and she meets a magical fawn.
Right, yeah.
Who tells her that she's a princess.
Yep.
From a sort of mystical, fantastical land.
She's going to slice up this bloody great toad. Played by, and this is one for the the fans of Pamela Anderson, David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, that'd be good.
In kind of a sort of hybrid CGI thing where it's got his face, yes, but he's also doing mocap for its gigantic. Yeah.
And that's one of a series of sort of tasks to prove herself as the princess. But against this sort of fantastical, hyper-real, it is not even hyper-real, fantastical sort of scenario, there's the very real gritty reality of the horrors of the Spanish Civil War. Eventually, Pamela Anderson's mother dies, leaving Pamela Anderson at the mercy of the fascists and her sort of adoptive parent. And the fawn, instead of comforting her, tells her to kill the newborn sort of baby sister that she's got, which she refuses to do.
Yeah.
And in refusing to do so, she tries to run away from the fawn and is murdered by the fascists. But in her loyalty to her kin, she has proved her worthiness as a princess and ascends into the afterlife to live amongst her people.
Yeah.
Ask me what it's called.
Well, it's called Barbed Wire. I was very clear about that.
No, I'm changing the title.
Well, the gun's going off. You can't do that.
I
was very, very clear.
I think that
you're not fucking paid to think. You're not fucking paid at all.
It's a reboot. I've done the job. A title change.
You have not done what the bunny requested of you.
I can do the title change.
You dare.
Just hear me out.
Do you dare to stand up to fucking Warner Brothers, you tiny
just
little
hear me out. I can make you
scrotum.
They want money. They want money. I can make them money. Pam's Labyrinth.
Bang. Next screenwriter. You ever been impressed by a puppet?
What's impressed by, I mean?
Your call.
Yeah.
All right. Which one?
I've seen some very expressive puppet shows in my time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Go on. Puppetry, the penis.
Should we explain to... Not all of our listeners will know what that is.
I'm only familiar with there being posters for it around sort of
puppetry for towns. The penis.
Two Australians get their cocks out and kind of make them.
By the way, before Andy goes into detail, this is the most Australian thing you've ever heard.
Two Aussies get their cocks out and make them do sort of puppetry in some way.
Yeah, they sort of fold their junk.
Right. Have you seen it?
I've seen a 5-minute slot of it.
And were you moved by it?
Yeah, in a sense.
Yeah, I got up and I walked out.
In the same way I was moved by the reportage of the sort of tsunami in the early noughties, I felt a similar emotion watching Puppetry of the Penis.
Oh, God.
What a cruel place the world is.
So what were they... Do they... Is it like shadow puppetry? Or?
I wish. It's folding. For those of you listening who don't have a penis and testicles, penises are sort of more flexible than you might expect when flaccid.
Get a load of this, he could make his knob smaller.
Yeah, and you know, so long as you're not harming the testicles, the bag is also very manipulatable. Is that a word? I don't think it is.
No, I don't know exactly what. Yeah, well, we get what you're going for. Have you seen that Studio Ghibli film about the raccoons who've got raccoon dogs that have got these scrotums that can sort of inflate and
Studio Ghibli
make them into different shapes? Yes. What's it called? Is it like Pompoco or something like that? I can't really remember exactly what it's called.
Were you on
a specialist website? Yes,
a specialist website, and you went, "Oh, there's a new Studio Ghibli film."
Streaming services. It's amazing. They've got these Ghibli films that you've never seen publicised anywhere else. They haven't even got the deal.
There's a new episode of The Simpsons here. I've never seen before.
Wow. Well, I knew they showed Bart's cock in the film, but...
Looks like the film...
Homer's hung like a...
Looks like the film was a long time ago.
So, yeah, doesn't happen in the Thunderbirds either, does it?
No. No. Our two guests in this episode...
Yes.
Sam Nicaresti and John Luke Roberts, returning heroes to the podcast format.
Yeah, and they are welcome back.
They are very welcome back.
This episode was recorded
live.
You wouldn't know it. Live!
At the Cheerful Earful Podcast Festival. The Cheerful Earful staff and everyone involved in the festival...
Wonderful.
...were absolutely fantastic. And we didn't have the numbers that we had on our previous live show recording, but Cheerful Earful have been very supportive, and we will be back next year.
Yeah, and it's quality, not quantity.
Absolutely. And we did have quality.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm saying bonza.
You're saying bonza, are you?
I'd like to go on record.
Okay. You can follow Sam Nicaresti and John Luke Roberts on various forms of social media.
Bonza.
Please follow myself and Andy on social media. Please plug the podcast. Give us a 5-star review wherever you're listening to it. If you're listening to this towards the end of 2023, I am running a gig called Long Live the New Holidays on the 19th of December, in which comedians are pitching replacements for Christmas. That's at the Camden Head on the 19th of December.
And I'm not up to much.
You've got things on.
I have, yeah.
Would you like to tell the podcast listeners what some of them are?
No, I'm going to spoon feed them.
Okay.
They've got to find it out for themselves.
Let's listen to the episode.
Yeah.
John Lee Roberts and Sam Nicaresti, thank you for agreeing to explain a few things to us today.
Thank you for asking us to explain a few things today.
I would just like to echo Alexander's thanks.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
Thank you. The three things that we know about, that we've learnt about in the 24 hours that have been alive, are Scott of the Antarctic,
Pamela Anderson,
and Thunderbirds. These things we know about.
Sure. Yeah, yep. Some of these things even I know about.
That's good.
Yeah, it's a great start.
That's a positive feature. Bearing in mind that's what we understand, Sam, in 1 minute, could you please explain to us who David Brent is?
Okay.
Your time starts now.
Wow, I thought we'd be straight into it. I thought we'd go for the rules first. David Brent is a human being, much like Scott of the Antarctic.
In what ways is David Brent like Scott of the Antarctic?
Well, both are cold.
Right.
Cold human beings who work. They work in a form of infrastructure for a living, much like in Tracy Island, the setup you'd have there, the workplace culture. David Brent is a sort of a fictional character, much like the Tracys. And
which of the Thunderbirds would you say that David Brent is most like?
The Thunderbird 2. The green,
well, the big green one.
The big green one, yeah.
Not one of the Tracys.
No, he's not. He's nothing like one of the Tracys.
So David Brent is more like a vehicle than a...
Yeah.
He's a vehicle.
Does he have a smaller David that comes out of his...
He doesn't, but there is one episode in which he's inside a giant emu. I don't know if that helps.
And why is he cold?
Episode.
Your time's up, Sam. Thank you very much indeed. A round of applause for Sam Nicaris. Sam, in 1 minute, you've explained to us that David Brent is a cold man of infrastructure who has a smaller David Brent inside of him.
No, he's inside.
Thank you, Sam. Your time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. We very much appreciate your input there.
John Luke, in 1 minute, could you please explain to us who Hugh Jackman is? Your time starts now.
So Hugh Jackman, like Scott of the Antarctic, is a human. being. Mm-hmm. Hugh Jackman.
Is he colder or like David Brent? Or is he...
He's cold. Well, he's got an icy... yes.
Right.
There's things about him which are firm and icy and like and glacial. As you'll know, Scott the Antarctic was around things which were cold a lot, so you'll understand them, I think.
I thought that was there was more of a situational coldness to Scott of the Antarctic, I don't...
Well, like yes, I suppose it's situational. We don't know much about his personality. Mm. It's not been written down. But like Pamela Anderson...
Yes.
He's an actor.
Ah.
And his physique is one of the most celebrated things about him.
So from what I... Pamela Anderson is a person who has played many different sort of people, mm-hmm. Pretended to be different people. Mm-hmm. What people has Hugh Jackman pretended to be?
Hugh Jackman has pretended to be a awful man who ran a circus. Now, you don't know what circuses are.
No, nope, and we're up. Not going to okay. find out.
Thank you, John Luke. Andy, would you like to sum up what John's told us about?
So I'm given to understand that Hugh Jackman is a sort of similarly cold figure who was an actor who ran a circus.
A cold man who ran a circus. Thank you, John Lee.
That's what I've got. Mm.
Those are some people that we're looking to learn more about. We would like to know more about different places.
Places.
Because we are aware that there are other places apart from this place. They might have different populations to this place.
Maybe. Hopefully.
Sam.
Yes.
In 2 minutes.
Oh God.
Could you please explain to us what Shrek's Adventure is? Your 2 minutes starts now.
Shrek's Adventure, what, do you mean in terms of like what he gets up to in the movie?
Well, the place Shrek's Adventure is... We've heard tell of it.
Oh, gosh. And using only the tools available to me. It's tricky, yep. actually.
What do you think it is?
I know what it is. I've actually been there and I've met the guy that built it. I met the guy that built the giant egg.
This is all information to us. What's an egg?
An egg is a sort of an ovoid structure that will contain something within it, much like David Brent. If you imagine David Brent containing a smaller David Brent.
It's kind of like Thunderbird 2.
It's a little bit like Thunderbird 2, yeah. There's a life force inside of it, and it's... It can be big. You can get big ones. You can get an emu egg.
I'm going to have... what is a life force?
A life force is sort of like... Well, you know how Pamela Anderson is involved in Baywatch, and they're like a sort of police force of the beach?
Yeah.
Extrapolate from that to the entirety of known civilization in existence, and you've got the basic concept of a life force.
Life force is like policing the sea.
It's like trying to police, not the sea, but just the rim of it. Just the edge where the sea
so
meets.
So the life force is the process of policing the rim of the sea.
If you imagine how in Baywatch they police not the sea nor the land, but the sort of the nebulous interzone between. A life force is sort of like that. It exists on the periphery between I don't know, pure consciousness and non-being. Shrek's Adventure is a place where David Brent would think to take his office on a work do.
Why?
Because, I don't know, they've probably got a good deal on. And
why is there an egg in it?
Why is there an egg in it? Because the architect thought it would be a cool idea.
Thank you. Round of applause for Sam.
Oh, good luck.
Sam, in 2 minutes, you've explained that Shrek's Adventure is a sort of egg sanctuary that David Brent might take his workers to because the egg contains the power to police the rim of the ocean.
Yeah, I don't know if I did a good
job. That's what you said.
That's what I said.
Thank you.
It's accurate and I stand by it.
Thank you for saying it. We appreciate you saying it.
Jean-Luc.
Yes.
In 2 minutes, could you please explain to us... Saddam Hussein's bunker.
Saddam Hussein's bunker?
Yes.
Well, in 2 minutes, your time starts now.
Okay, well, so a bunker, let's start with what a bunker is. Mm-hmm. A bunker is like an egg with a lid, but no life is meant to be within it unless things have gone very, very wrong. And in this case, they'd gone What? Why you look at me like that, Alexander Bennett?
I'm still processing.
Things aren't meant to be in bunkers unless things have gone wrong. You never go in a bunker if things are fine.
So what?
If
you so what? So what went wrong to put the life force in the egg?
Oh, that's a different. That's an anti bunker. I'm using this as a simile. Do you know what a simile is?
No.
A simile is like that. That's the beginning of a. That's how similes work. This largely works on simile, actually.
What's an
that's this whole format. An anti-bunker is a bunker you put your auntie in. Not really. No. Well, it's not. Look, so we've got bunker sorted. Moving on from that.
Have we?
So, yes, we have.
Bunker is
like
an egg
with a lid which you go in when it's not
okay,
safe.
Okay.
Heavily protected. And Saddam Hussein was a leader and like Scott
like
the Antarctic. In a way, and like Scott of the Antarctic, because he led his expedition.
Was he cold?
But Saddam Hussein,
yes,
cold-hearted. Yes, he was. He did have a cold. Yes, but he was
on a scale between Scott of the Antarctic and Hugh Jackman. Mm-hmm. How cold is Saddam Hussein?
Well, in temperature-wise, I'd say roughly yes.
And character-wise?
Character-wise, definitely more towards the Hugh Jackman than the Scott of the Antarctic.
Would he have become colder when he went into his bunker?
Probably, because it would have been in the shade. The shade is what happens. Well, like the inside of an egg is protected from the sun, so too is a bunker.
Okay.
And who's Saddam Hussein?
Yeah.
So he was a leader, but not a nice one. Just like in Thunderbirds, the baddies in Thunderbirds.
The baddies in Thunderbirds.
Yeah, Saddam Hussein was like that, but still, they probably shouldn't have gone after him because it just made things worse.
And who are they in 5 seconds?
Who are they?
Yeah.
They are the Thunderbirds of the free world.
Right, thank you very much.
Andy.
Yeah, so Saddam Hussein was a leader, a bad, cold leader who was driven into his lidded egg by misfortunes brought on by the Thunderbirds of the free world.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you, John Luke.
Are we allowed to clarify, are there baddies in Thunderbirds?
What, are there not?
I don't know. Are we allowed
There are lots of different baddies in Thunderbirds.
Yeah, there's not.
Otherwise, they'd have nothing to do. They'd just be going, oh, do you want to go out for a ride in my rocket? Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Most of the Thunderbirds' activities are to do with dealing with baddies.
With baddies, yeah, sure, that
I
checks
think there's
out.
Some natural disasters in there as well.
There absolutely is, Andy, yes.
Yeah, they're sort of like a search and rescue sort of policing operation, right?
They're an international sort of...
it's international rescue.
They're definitely, they are the military industrial complex, though, aren't they?
Think so. They police. They're the world police. They're like Interpol. Yeah. I suppose,
No. They're not. They're not the world.
They're not Paw
police.
Patrol.
They're not the world police. They don't have anything to do with the rim of the sea.
Right.
They're not. Well, the
I think one of the Thunderbirds would be able to deal with that.
Okay.
I can't remember which one exactly.
They hid one of their rockets underneath a swimming pool, didn't they? Or was it a lake?
I think that might have been Thunderbird One, wasn't it?
Or is that not one of the Bond films where he comes out of a volcano?
No, I thought they came out of it when Blue
Peter
made it.
They come out of all sorts of stuff. Right. Yeah. Hidden bits. They got the whole Tracy Island. Yeah.
Another thing we'd like to learn about.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Is the world of art.
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 And creativity.
Mm-hmm. Come to the right person.
Sam.
Yes.
In 3 minutes.
Three.
It gets longer.
I would like you to explain to me what happens in The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe. Your 3 minutes starts now.
Okay. A man is sat at a desk, much like you would see in The Office. He is...
What office?
The office, David Brent's office.
We don't know about David
Brent's
office.
Oh, was that not one of your established...
No, because you explained that David Brent was, I think...
An egg.
He's cold.
Man in an egg.
He's cold. He's got David Brent inside him.
Yeah, babushka. Oh, okay. So I thought we'd established what an office, a workplace was.
You thought wrong.
Okay.
Tracy Island's a workplace.
Well, Tracy Island's a workplace. So much like in Tracy Island, they would have to sit down and write the occasional report on the sorts of things they've been up to, much like any sort of police force would have to.
They're not the police.
They are the... I think they are the police in a way. They certainly have funding from somewhere, don't they?
Would you like to speculate where?
Oh, you know, well, look, we can't get into that here. But I've got my theories. I think that, right, hold on, look. So a raven is like a bird, much like the Thunderbirds, right? So at least we can agree on this.
So okay. It's
metal. No, don't say rocket, don't say metal. No, it's not. It's neither rocket nor metal, but a sort of a living flesh. It's a living flesh rocket containing a life force inside, which we've established is a type of beat, extrapolated beach police.
Fleshy egg that can propel itself.
Yes, actually, it comes from a fleshy egg that can propel.
So the egg
is propelled at some point out of another bird.
it's propelled.
How eggs. Quickly?
How quickly? I don't actually know. I've never seen a raven give birth. Well, assume slowly. Yeah. You're not going to get very far in the evolutionary process if you're shooting them out at speed.
What do you think is the lower threshold for describing something as having been propelled?
30 miles an hour, I reckon that's got to be. I mean, beneath that, it's not. It's tossed, I think, really.
So when you say a raven is a fleshy egg that comes out of another raven.
Did I say that?
That's what I've come to understand from the information you've given us.
Wow, I'm hearing it.
Any lack of clarity is your fault.
Sure.
So if a raven is a type of egg, and you go into an egg when things have gone wrong, in what circumstances...
That was a simile.
That
was a simile.
That was a simile, yeah.
That was a description of a bunker.
Yeah, but I thought we established it was a simile. It was a like...
Guys, we're getting distracted on my time right here. I'm trying to explain Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven to
Who's
you.
Edgar Allan Poe?
Who's Edgar Allan Poe? He's a master of the American Gothic, that being...
What's that?
Yeah. I don't know why I thought I could explain this to you. I mean, it's a form of... I could explain it, but not with the strictures that have been placed upon me. You know how...
That's a shame.
It's kind of like a it's in a way it's a precursor to Baywatch. They both came out of ultimately the same culture at different times.
Would you say they've had a similar impact on the culture?
Oh yes.
Time is up. Thank you, Sam. Sam, in 3 minutes, you've told us that...
3 long minutes.
The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe is something to do with a sort of fleshy rocket being propelled out of another fleshy rocket, and that has had an indelible impact on American culture.
Yeah, the bird is an egg that is propelled, and the egg being a container of a life force, that being a bird. So
you're
I hope
doubling
that,
down on this.
That helps.
Thank you. We very much, it does help.
Yeah.
We appreciate the information.
It's all very handy.
We're building a wider understanding of the world.
Jean-Luc, in 3 minutes, could you please explain to us Finding Nemo?
Finding Nemo.
Time starts now.
Well, like you know what bodies of water are, because they're in Baywatch and they're in Thunderbirds as well.
Yep.
So in that body of water is where the story of Finding Nemo takes place. Now, a story is like what happens every week in Thunderbirds. But in this particular case, there are two fish. Now, fish are like humans, but wet. You know what humans are, I guess.
Yes.
They don't have legs. You know legs? Those legs, they don't have them. They sort of flap around underneath the water, and they can breathe.
So a human without legs is a fish.
And human without, more or less. Well, it was not a mermaid, is it? And
what's a mermaid?
Actually, it is a mermaid. This can be. A mermaid is half human, half fish. So half
How
a human and half a human without legs. Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
Okay.
We could one day discover.
Do fish have any other defining qualities that makes them different from humans, or are they just humans without legs?
Yeah, no, they floppy, much floppier.
Floppy humans without
much
legs.
Much floppier than humans. Still got bones, though, little bones.
They got smaller bones than the human.
Much smaller, depending on the size of the fish. Sometimes just a bit smaller. so these fish are in Finding Nemo. They also breathe
Finding Nemo, there's lots of humans without legs that have different bone sizes.
Yeah, but specifically there's like two or three we're really interested in. Numbers because they're on the sides of the vehicles in Thunderbirds. Now, one of these fish, who is the child of another fish, Nemo, who is a child, like you get a child in an egg.
I think Pamela Anderson has played either someone's
child. Yeah, fine. So you got that. Right, fine. Yeah. He gets lost. And his
How
dad,
does he get lost?
Currents, I think.
He takes
some initiative and he ends up in a dentist's office.
Circle back to currents. What are those?
Yeah, currents. That's when... you know the tides coming in and out in Baywatch, which Pamela Anderson is in?
Yeah.
Or do you know Baywatch? Or
affecting the jurisdiction of the Baywatch
police.
Team. Yeah.
Yes. And they're like that, but underneath the surface.
Do the police also police the rim of the sea below, underneath the sea?
I can't speak to that. Now, the...
I will accept that in this instance, but please do not get in the habit of giving that as a response.
Okay. So this pulls the little fish away. And he has to get rescued, which is what Pamela Anderson does, by his dad and his dad's friend, who's played by Ellen DeGeneres.
Who's Ellen DeGeneres?
A disgraced chat show host. Now,
what's a chat show?
A chat show is when people talk to each other, but while a lot of other people watch them.
I can't imagine that.
Okay.
Why?
Because the people watching want to learn about one of those people talking.
And why was Ellen DeGeneres disgraced?
Because her workplace environment was frowned upon.
Thank you. Yeah,
okay. Does she count as disgraced?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it? I don't know if we're allowed to chat normally in between the rounds, but I just watched Finding Nemo today.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, actually, it was half on. My girlfriend was watching it.
Was John Luke's description...
It was like watching it all over again.
Yeah, good.
It was very good.
You may continue your discussion of whether or not Ellen DeGeneres is disgraced, because we're interested in having more information about the world in general. Yeah.
Well, I think like disgrace now doesn't actually mean much, because lots of people, like Suella Braverman, is disgraced.
Who's that?
But she's still the Home Secretary. Like, you can be
Who's
disgraced.
Suella Braverman.
Let's probably start with the World Police.
Yeah, the World Police.
Yeah, work backwards from there. I mean, how much time do you have, and what have we established? Have we established a single concept beyond the original three so far?
We know that the Raven is about a sort of self-projecting egg.
Yeah, I feel pretty confident about what a bunker is.
Yeah, and how the rim of the sea is policed.
Okay, and so with...
Okay, that... well, Suella Braverman is someone who, if you had an egg, like a bunker, which is like an egg, but when you go in when it's not safe, you would go in. But she would want to take that egg away from you.
She's someone who wants to take away the safety of your egg.
Yes.
Basically, wow. Not to get too political on the podcast, but this woman wants to take our eggs away.
Our safety eggs. Our safety eggs with lids.
We would like to know...
But would she keep an egg for herself? Damn right she would.
Tell me about it.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
We are aware that things have happened before now.
Oh. Okay.
And we would like to know more about some of those things.
Interesting.
Sam, in 3 minutes, I would like to you to explain to us what happened when Clint Eastwood was talking to an empty chair at the 2012 National Republican Convention. You have 3 minutes to explain this happening, starting now.
Okay, well, so do you know who Clint Eastwood is? No, okay. That's going to be a huge... This could take the majority of the time, to be honest with you. Well, he's an actor like Pamela Anderson. Starred in American films, much like Pamela Anderson. She starred in a couple, I believe. He is...
What films has Clint Eastwood been in?
Clint Eastwood's been in Dirty Harry, most famously.
What's that about?
It's about a man who doesn't know how many bullets he's got in his bloody gun. He's not checked it properly.
We know what guns are because of Thunderbirds.
Of course. Why they have guns in Thunderbirds?
Yeah, why doesn't... some of the characters do. Why doesn't Dirty Harry know how many bullets are in his gun?
He's been firing them away. I mean, it's...
How fast?
He's over 30 miles an hour. Yeah. These bullets have been...
They've been propelled then,
absolutely propelled like fleshy eggs.
He's lost track of how many... bullets.
Yeah, exactly. So you understand now who Clint Eastwood is. Now, do you understand...
He's a man who doesn't know how many bullets he's got.
He's a man who doesn't know how many bullets he's got. And that does also kind of apply in a more extrapolated sense to his current mental state at the time of talking to an empty chair at the Republican Party conference. A man who doesn't know how many bullets he's got.
What is the Republican Convention?
Yes. It is a party that people go to. It's a place where people go to shout at empty chairs.
Right, so what he was doing there wasn't out of the ordinary.
Most of those people will have a bunker, if that helps. That helps give an indication of the type of person.
And what has to go wrong for them to get in their bunker?
Oh, very little. Very, very little has to go wrong before the egg hatch is being opened on their bunkers. You understand chairs, you understand mental decline. I feel like I've...
I don't know if we do understand mental decline.
You don't understand mental decline. Well,
we might have some sort of situational understanding.
Presumably
of is,
something but... that Scott of the Antarctic went through as he was on his quest to what I can assume is the Antarctic, the centre of. He would have gone for a period of mental decline and presumably death. Is he the guy that went out of his tent?
No, I don't think so. That was Scott of the Antarctic's friend. Yeah. Well, not. I mean, how good friend was debatable.
Really?
Don't go outside, stay in, did he?
Yeah, okay, yeah, sure. Right, I understand. Well, so anyway, that's...
Why do they talk to the chairs?
Yeah.
Why
what do they get out of it?
Clint Eastwood talk to the chair. I can't really remember. I think he was trying to be funny, much like David Brent.
Why does David Brent try to be funny?
Because he's a sad little man that seeks the sort of respect of his employees but can't get it because of his personality.
Time's up. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
Why was he talking to the chair?
Did
he say this is Barack Obama in the chair? Was it something like that? Was he pretending it was...
Yeah, I think that's right. It was like 2018 or something.
2012.
Oh my gosh. Okay, deep cut. I do vaguely remember it.
That was one of the least mad things. That's now one of the least mad things that happened
at Republican Party conference.
Sam, in 3 minutes, you've explained to us that what happened when Clint Eastwood was talking to an empty chair at the 2012 National Republican Convention was that Clint Eastwood is part of a group of people who don't know how many bullets they've got and don't know when to get in their egg.
Yeah, I think so. It was a tough one. I'm sweaty.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, much, much appreciated. John Luke, could you please explain to us what happened when King Charles swore at a pen during his visit to Belfast? Your time starts now.
It's difficult because I tried to ignore that whole... I got so angry about that story even being told. Why are we talking about this? So King Charles had a mum.
Who's that?
Like Nemo. Sorry?
Who's that?
Who's King Charles?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's start with the mum. so, like, you remember the fish, Nemo had a dad.
Well, we remember what you told.
Okay, right. Well, so like, the Nemo
there's
in this case
with legs
is King
and
Charles.
Bones, and King they've got a dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he had a dad, but more importantly, he had a mum. And
more importantly.
More important. Well, for the. Yeah. Like, his dad was not. Like, just I'm talking constitutionally, he was not of much. What's the constitution?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you asked. Well, you know how the life force is a force that, like, patrols the liminal space
the
between
the sea.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the constitution is like a life force, but instead of the rim of the sea, it's the rim of the country. The rim of the country. No, the state. The state, which is like a landmass but of ideas.
Like Tracy Island.
Yes, yes.
But made of ideas.
Well, yeah, because it's not real. It's just like, well, we've decided to put this here and say this is this.
Does the rim and does the rim of the state ebb and flow like the sea itself?
Funny you should say that. It does in a way.
what way?
Whoa. Well, we've got an unwritten constitution, which means nobody thought to write it down. You know how Thunderbirds was written down before they said it out loud, and the Raven was written down. I don't know if we got that far, actually.
Sorry, no, I dropped the ball on that one.
We know that a raven propels another raven from itself.
Well, and you write things with pens. They're what you write things with. And King Charles...
I think I've seen Pamela Anderson writing in a film.
Yes. He got crossed a pen because he was sad his mum's life force had gone.
His mother was no longer able to police the rim.
Yes, her rim was not policed.
That's what I heard. And her son was sad about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so... And he used the pen to write about his feelings about this?
I can't remember what he was using. I think it was to sign a document saying, I swear that my mum's dead, or something like that. I can't remember. He was signing a thing for a legal purpose, I assume, and he got cross.
What does the word king mean?
King is like... Well, what is like a king? Just like... Like Hugh Jackman ran a circus, the king runs... A country.
Well, you say he. We don't really know what running a circus is.
You know what? It's like a country, but with full of clowns. Oh, a bit like ours, actually.
who polices the circus's rim?
That it doesn't need to be policed. Well, in a way,
is a country a piece of land like Tracy Island?
Is a country a piece of land like Tracy Island? Yes, and but bigger.
And in 5 seconds, what are clowns?
Clowns are really annoying.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
Thank you very much.
Andy, would you like to sum up what we've learnt there?
Right. So there's a sort of... there's a Hugh Jackman figure who runs the country, and that his mum, who was in charge of an unwritten constitution, died without having a properly policed rim, and this... made him take out his anger on a pen. I really have no fucking idea.
Thank you, John Luke.
I think that was a good summary of the situation.
I don't think it was bad at all, actually.
There are so many different things to learn about. So many.
That's a really good, can I just say,
many.
Really good link. You've just done a brilliant segue. I really liked it.
In 2 minutes.
It would also work as, like, later you can use it as an ending, like, for the next week. Those words would do well.
There are still many more things to be learned about.
It's an open-ended statement. Sam.
Hello.
In 2 minutes.
Go get it, Sam.
Come on.
I would like you to explain to us...
It's stressful.
You're going to do really well. God, explain it to them so they know what it means really well. I bet you can do it.
I'm going to get one. I am going to get one of these.
Grab this explanation by the horns.
We would like to know what a pole dancing pole is.
Oh.
You've got 2 minutes. Your time starts now.
Fascinating. Well, surely there's one in Thunderbirds. No, there's
I don't remember the Tracy's going to... to see pole dancing.
Lonely Nights on Tracy Island. Mm. Well, I mean, surely they slide down a pole at some point to get into or out of a bird.
Yes, but that's a sliding pole.
That's a sliding pole. Okay, so but we understand the concept of a pole. Now, imagine this pole, but it doesn't
lead... Do you like to just physically describe a pole?
Physically describe a pole. Like? It is an erect, vertical... it's a pole. I mean, it's a, you know, a pole's a pole. What more do you want? It's a lot more. Okay, yeah. Right. It's made of metal, much like the Thunderbirds. It goes straight up, much like Thunderbirds 2 does. I believe that one goes to space. It's slippery, much like Pamela Anderson would be if she just got out of the water. Really?
I don't think Thunderbird 2 goes to space.
Oh, that must be one of the
one
other...
One or three goes to space.
I think three goes to the blue, one goes to three.
So a pole is a metal thing that goes up.
Yes. Between the extremity of a floor and a ceiling, although not always all the way up to a ceiling, it will always be contained within a room. So whereas you could imagine the Thunderbird boys using a pole to go from, say, level one to a cave, this pole would not get you anywhere.
Right.
So it's a static metal thing.
Static metal thing that goes up. Yes. We've got this.
But it's no use for sort of transit between.
It's not used for transit except in a purely circular motion.
It moves things in circles.
You can move. Yes, it does. It moves specifically people in around. But it's the axis of a person's.
What people does it move around?
People who either use it for entertainment, fitness, or in some cases a sort of a sexualized form of. I don't know really.
The time is up. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Oh. Did I get it?
Well, we've learned that a pole dancing pole is a sort of stationary metal rocket that is used to spin humans around in a circle.
In an entertaining...
Or sexual way.
Yeah. Yes, that's it.
And you know what? I certainly think, like, if they don't understand what a pole is, at this point, that's their problem. You really described pole very well.
Thank you, Sam. I feel like I've got it. We appreciate the information.
John Luke, 2 minutes. What's a parrot?
What's a parrot?
Yeah, time starts now.
A parrot is a bird. Birds, we know what birds are. Like a raven is a bird, but parrots
all we know about a raven is that it
shoots another raven out of itself.
It's sort of egg out of itself.
All right. Well, I mean, okay. So a parrot can talk like Pamela Anderson can talk. Or Hugh Jackman.
Do they have similar things to say?
It depends. If they've been around someone, they may well say any of the things that they've heard said. Parrots are very colourful. I think that's worth pointing out. Do you imagine all the different colours of the Thunderbirds vehicles?
Grey.
A parrot can have all red. Of one of them. Sure, in just one parrot. All of them are just one parrot.
Would you like to describe them a bit? So all we know about a raven, which is the thing that you've compared to
parrot. It shoots out of things, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but what do they look like?
Ah, good question, and I was hoping you would ask. Let's start at the very bottom of the parrot. Bottom. There you have feet. No, the bottom's above the bottom. I guess the bottom can be below the bottom, depending what the feet are standing on. So there's feet as the kind of... They're the meat and potatoes of the parrot. The feet.
Okay, I have three questions. Okay. I know what feet are.
Because
humans have them and fish don't.
Yeah.
What's meat and what are potatoes?
Meat and potatoes. If you eat anything, it is either meat or a potato.
Okay, could you give an example of a thing?
That was once alive and is now dead that you eat is meat.
Like the queen.
Yes, that would be meat, but frowned upon.
And what an example of a potato?
A potato, they're like a dense egg filled with energy.
Are they so, would you call that energy a life force?
It can give you life force. They live under the ground.
Eggs do?
That's where they grow. Bunkers do. And so do potatoes.
Bunkers grow underground.
You can't grow a bunker. You can knock through a bunker.
Thank you,
you can
John
enlarge
Lucas.
A bunker.
Thank you.
I feel like there was a lot in there.
A parrot is a sort of colourful raven. It has all the colours of all of the Thunderbirds in it. And at its base are its meat and its potatoes, which could be anything from the queen to a sort of energy-filled egg.
Thank you, John Luke.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. We are fascinated by human behaviour.
That's a better one, isn't it?
I wouldn't have said that was it. I thought that was a good segue before.
And we would like to learn more about the things that humans do.
Segues, that's one of the things.
in 3 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, back up.
Back up.
Okay, I thought it was like a bell curve, but we're seesawing all
we
over
don't
the
understand
place.
Me too. Sam, in 3 minutes, could you please explain to us what we would be doing were we to sell a pair of swimming trunks on eBay? You've got 3 minutes. Time starts now.
You want me to explain what you would be doing? Like morally, ethically?
Whatever you want to get into, we've time for it.
Well, of course, you understand what swimming trunks are. That much is
we've seen them on...
On Baywatch. Yeah. You've seen on Pamela Anderson.
Yeah. Okay, famed for her trunks.
So, it would... I mean, to be honest, this is really more up to you than it is up to me. I would need more information. Nope. Such as why... Like, are they your swimming trunks or are they someone else's swimming trunks?
We don't know.
You don't know.
This is something we've heard about that people do.
A pair of swimming trunks.
This is a situation in which you have a pair of swimming trunks. You don't know whose they are.
Well,
or
we
where
don't
they...
necessarily have them, but we understand that this is something that a person could do.
Oh, one. If one were to sell a pair of swimming trunks on eBay. I mean, again, it comes back to it could be much like the poll for entertainment, fitness, or sexual purposes. I mean, there are all sorts of
reasons. Please get into all three.
Okay, well...
Entertainment.
I mean, I don't know. I think you
what
could...
What would be entertaining about selling a pair of swimming trunks on eBay?
Be a laugh, wouldn't it? It's something to do on a rainy Tuesday afternoon. You could... Maybe the swimming trunks are novelty swimming trunks in some way. For example, the swimming trunks could have an elephant... On the front,
Sam,
or yes, what's an elephant? It's a huge. it's a big bunker that's above ground for a life force.
What sort of trouble would you need to be in to have to get into an elephant?
Oh, huge trouble. Like, the biggest trouble you've ever seen. If you're inside an elephant, you are in trouble. That is the trouble.
Right, what so a separate trouble
it's a separate
is invoked by entering the elephant.
Absolutely. I mean, one
and
assumes...
And what sort of trouble would have to occur to Clint Eastwood to prompt him to enter an elephant?
At this stage, very little, I think. I mean, I could see it happening.
Are you willing to go on record?
I think Clint Eastwood would climb inside an elephant. Yeah, and I don't mind saying it. I don't think
and
he knows who I am.
And what's a sexual reason you might sell some swimming trunks on eBay?
Well, there are... we sort of live in this kind of economy now of selling a lot of things online, potentially, for a little bit of extra cash here and there. It's
what's economy?
Economy is something that... you know money. Money must have cropped up in one of the things that you're aware of. It funded Scott's expedition.
The Thunderbirds have some money from somewhere.
Some shadow funding from somewhere. And
presumably, Pamela Anderson gets paid for her role as the...
I've seen Pamela with a dollar or two.
Yes, okay, so we understand the economy is then the movement of money around the borders of a country that is sort of a nebulous constitutional state.
Okay, and what's online?
I've no idea.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Sam. Selling a pair of swimming trunks on eBay is part of the economy, and what the economy is that it's waving money around the rim of the sea.
No. It's the fluctuation of...
I can only
go
by what you've told us.
Well, I told you it was the fluctuation of currency around the...
You said
it
was the movement of money.
Movement of money around the illusory state.
Yeah, so it's moving money.
Well, actually, it isn't
the rim of the sea.
Or is it? Yes, it is. Yes, an economy is sort of tied to a country. Money isn't. No, money is. Oh my God, this is quite complicated when you really think about it.
We never even got into what the fitness reasons for selling a pair of trunks online might
Yes,
be.
That I'm glad.
But you might move that money around the rim of the sea. Selling a pair of swimming trunks will help that process happen. And you might also just do it for a laugh.
Yeah, it might be sexy.
Yeah.
It might be sexy.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank
That's
you very
okay.
John Luke.
Mm.
In 3 minutes, could you please tell us what we would be doing, or what one would be doing, if one were to commandeer a vessel? Your time starts now.
Well, vessels are like they have in Thunderbirds.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And to commandeer means...
In Thunderbirds, you mean the Thunderbirds? Is those the vessels?
The things they fly around in.
So the Tracys are not vessels?
No, they're not vessels. Well, they're vessels for a let's not get into that.
No, let's. what are they vessels for, the Tracys?
Well, sort of a soul, you know, or a consciousness.
What's a soul?
It's like, Well, you know how...
What's a soul?
Well, actually, it's quite easy in this particular case that it wouldn't be for, like, to really explain what Pam Randerson's soul is or what Hugh Jackman's soul is. But the soul is the essence inside the thing. And with the Thunderbirds, their soul is a big hand above them moving some strings around to give them life.
When a raven shoots another raven out, mm-hmm. is the raven that comes out of it, does that take its soul with it?
It gets a brand new soul all of its own. I believe. Maybe it is just a little bit of the bigger soul, which then grows over time.
When Dirty Harry fires bullets mm-hmm. from his gun,
yeah.
do the bullets have new souls?
No. And where were we? What were we talking about? Vessels, commandeering vessels. So a vessel is like that. Generally, I think a vessel means a boat, like one of them on water, I think. And to commandeer means to take. So just
because we're trying to learn here.
Yeah.
The difference between...
Try harder.
the difference between the Tracys and the Thunderbirds is that the Tracys have souls, but the Thunderbirds don't.
No, but when the Tracys are inside board, them, there is a soul on board, but it's not just the one? Thunderbirds. Well, however many Tracys, that's the number of souls.
Okay, so they don't sort of conglomerate into a sort of single soul once
you're thinking
enter
of the Power Rangers.
What are the Power Rangers?
Yeah. The Power Rangers. They're actually very similar to the Thunderbirds, but instead of... But they're things that shoot out of the island, all link up together, and form a massive effigy of a human, like... David Brent.
To what end?
To what end? Well, there's another giant thing they have to punch.
And why? What's commandeer mean?
Commandeer means take control of. So if Mr. Bloggs, Mr. one of the Tracys is flying a plane,
Mr. Bloggs,
and along comes
Tracy Bloggs.
Tracy Bloggs,
Tracy Bloggs
is
flying the plane, and someone else, the plane on the water, and someone else comes along and says, "Hey, I'm having that." And then takes that would be commandeering.
So to take control of a vessel?
Yes.
Do you also take control of the souls?
That would be a different kind of commandeering.
How would you commandeer someone's soul?
Well, it's quite a complex ritual, and I don't think I should say it on microphone.
Well, you've got 14 seconds if you wanted to elaborate.
Well, first
on.
Of all, you need some blood of a goat. No. Then you need a nice.
Has this got anything to do with the Thunderbirds funding?
We just don't know. We just don't know. We don't know where it comes from. They might be doing it out of the goodness of their hearts. But
thank you, John.
They might have just found the rockets.
Andy. Sum that up for us.
Yeah. So if somebody other than a Thunderbird, than a Tracy, than one of the Tracys, were to wish to take control of one of the Thunderbirds, they would say, "I'm having that," and that is the sort of magic words by which they are now in control of that. They're not in control of the souls that are on board of the Thunderbird unless a separate exercise has been carried out beforehand. Involving a goat, whatever that is.
Perfect.
That's what I've got.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you,
John Luke.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Myself and Andy have use of the English language.
Oh, but not barely.
But not a full understanding.
Oh, sorry, I interrupted your segue.
Yeah.
And it was such a good segue as well.
Thank you, John Luke. We would like to know more about what people say. Sam,
yes.
In 2 minutes,
okay.
What would one mean were one to say, "The grass is always greener on the other side"? Your 2 minutes start now.
Okay, I'm going to say idiom straight off the bat. It's
what's a bat?
Okay. A bat is another sort of vertical solid object like a pole, but stouter and flatter, used for hitting balls, which are a type of very solid egg or potato.
Were you to spin around a bat, would that be sexual?
To some people somewhere, yes. In the age of the internet,
who care to name them?
It's unclear, but these things can be sparked at any age. And once you know, you know. Really, we live in interesting times. So what the grass is always greener is something that people say to give a sense that in life, which we of course know about because we've established the life force, whatever you have possession of, for example in commandeering a vessel, there will always be a sense that something else could have happened that was better, or someone else
what's
is
what's better than commandeering a vessel.
Oh, I mean, commandeering a spaceship would be pretty cool. Fighting a giant
like the Power Rangers?
Yes, fighting a giant like the Power Rangers do, or like a sort of, yeah, like a mecha kind of, you know, Pacific Rim style. I mean, I'm giving, oh, okay, hold on. Let me backtrack.
Does this rim have anything to do with the...
The rim, we've established what the rim is. The Queen's Rim was unguarded. The Pacific Rim was not. they took those kaiju down. Yeah, so it's
this is about wishing that you hadn't commandeered a vessel and had done something else.
Well, actually, it's a way of saying that whilst we do as human beings have a propensity to wish that we had done something else, that will always be the case for us, that there is no true perfection or happiness to be found in life.
And your time is up. Thank you, Seb.
Thanks very much.
We were just getting into it.
You've explained to us the phrase "the grass is always greener on the other side" means is that life is imperfect.
Yes,
brilliant. Thank you, Sam.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. It's a very beautifully put,
Jean-Luc. In 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what one would be saying if one were to say "it takes two to tango"?
Your time starts now.
Well, "it takes two to tango" is an idiom like that last one.
What's tango?
Oh, tango is a kind of dance. A dance. You presume they've had a dance in Thunderbirds, or would they get the strings tangled? I don't know. Are you aware of what dances are?
I think I've seen Pamela Anderson dance in the film Barbed Wire.
Right. Good. Well, good. Well, then you know. So a dance that two people do together. And it's a specific type of dance, is a tango.
What is specific about it?
You go, it's got force to it.
A life force?
No, in a way. I mean, it's got vim, it's got vigour. It's very decisive. And just like those ravens shoot out of those other ravens, you shoot across the dance floor when you're doing a tango.
You fire another version of yourself out.
You're fired by a big invisible force called dance. And you're fired with someone else.
If the big hand is the soul of the Thunderbirds, dance be the soul of us?
If you're doing the tango, maybe. It's bigger than all of us, that's for sure. And it comes from, I think, South America, the tango.
Is it kaiju?
Kaijus could tango, and maybe that would be a better way of dealing with them. If we could teach them joy, then they might not be so aggressive. We could teach them art through dance.
And why does it take two to tango?
Because if you're tangoing alone, that's just walking with decisiveness. That is, it takes two to... Well, you need two to tango, otherwise it's just not a tango. You're only allowed to do it if it's two. So when you say what is it?
It's
walking.
If it's a one... But you're getting propelled. Quickly.
Yeah.
By quickly. Dance.
Yeah, and sort of sideways, I think. And with one arm out in front, as if you're saying, get out my way. It's much more aggressive when you haven't got someone else. If you're doing it with someone else, then everyone's going, ooh, lovely. And if you're doing it by yourself, you're going, who's that prick? Right? Now, but it's a phrase because...
Your time is up, John. Don't,
This is very frustrating.
It's very stressful, isn't it? Yeah, and I feel like we're never quite getting to the nub of what any of these things are. And it's
a nub.
A nub. It's a worn down egg. That's the closest I could give you.
We really appreciate all of the information that you've given us.
Okay.
We have limited time for some reason.
Yeah.
Andy, would you like to sum up what we've learned about "It Takes Two to Tango"?
Yeah, so a tango is a type of movement that absolutely requires a second partner, otherwise people will think you're a prick.
Thank you, Andy. To segue into some sort of close.
Good segue, though.
Andy.
Yeah.
Who do you feel has provided the most satisfactory explanations?
Well, I can't remember exactly who initially brought up the concept of an egg, but that's been pretty central to the whole...
I think that was John Luke.
I think John Luke compared a bunker to an egg. So yeah. I think Sam initially introduced the idea of an egg.
Well, let's ask Sam. Did the best work with it, though.
Okay, so you're ceding the victory to...
Oh, is it a victory thing? No, I came up with it, yeah. Okay. Well, I think I did all the legwork there.
Yeah, but maybe the expansion does
egg
actually...
Or the egg work.
Hey!
Sam's the winner. Sam's the winner.
Is that because I spoke over Alexander Bennett when he was trying to...
Yeah, I just said it very quietly, so it would just come up in the microphone. But I think you and I said egg work at the same time.
Oh, you both said it?
Yeah, we both
said
it.
Right, well, Sam's definitely the winner.
Yeah. Oh. Sam Nicaresti, thank you very much.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you.
Well done, Sam.
Thank you very much.
John Luke Roberts, thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
Much like an egg, it is a hollow victory.
Well, actually, you could debate that, couldn't you? Because eggs often aren't hollow. If you've got a hollow egg, then something's happened to it.
Yes, I was actually thinking specifically of a magician's egg.
You get like a cloth out of an egg?
Yes.
Yeah.
You think there's going to be something in it, but they've emptied it somehow for a pin. I shouldn't give that away on the podcast, but that's how they do it.
Well, no, I think you learn that as a child when you're painting eggs, right?
I just learned that today.
It's not a magic trick.
Is it not?
No, you just blow them so that you can then have the egg for a while. You can marble it. You can like get ink in a little bit of water and plop it in and...
Can you?
Oh, really? Now I'm learning. Mm. Okay. There really are so many things to learn in the world, aren't there?
Oh, I feel the need to go into a bunker.
Oh, my God!
Oh, no.
Well, there were two bullets in that gun.
Yes. Are you feeling lucky, punk?
You have been listening to Born Yesterday, featuring Andy Barr and me, Alexander Bennett. I created the show and Steve Pretty composed the music. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell people about it. Follow us on social media and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.